Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 20th of November, 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming live on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Theatre in the Raw are presenting 12 Angry Jurors, a 60-year-old play that is as relevant and meaningful today as it was when it played on black and white TV in the 1950s. We'll meet some of those jurors and find out why they're so angry. And actor, musician, and former CITR DJ Paula Rempel-Spur is appearing in Agnes of God. That opened last night, and she'll be by later to talk to us all about it. We'll have a preview of Shindig Week 6, our annual showcase of new local bands, plus our usual rundown of what to see and what to do this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial.
I mean, all these picky little points you keep bringing up, they don't mean nothing. You saw this kid just like I did. You're not going to tell me you believe that phony story about losing the knife and that business about being at the movies. Look, you know how these people lie? It's born in them. I mean, what the heck? I don't have to tell you. They don't know what the truth is. And let me tell you, they don't need any real big reason to kill someone either. No, sir. They get drunk. Oh, they're real big drinkers, all of them. You know that. And bang, someone's lying in the gutter. Well, nobody's blaming them for it. That's the way they are, by nature. You know what I mean? Violent. Where are you going? Human life don't mean as much to them as it does to us. Look, they're rushing it up and fighting all the time. And if somebody gets killed, so somebody gets killed. They don't care. Oh, sure, there's some good things about them, too. Look, I'm the first one to say that. I've known a couple who are okay, but that's the exception. You know what I mean? Most of them, it's like they have no feelings. They can do anything. What's going on here? Well, I'm trying to tell you. You're making a big mistake, you people. This kid is a liar. I know it. I know all about them. Listen to me. They're no good. There's not a one of them who's any good. I mean, what's happening in here? I'm speaking my piece, and you... Listen to me. We're this kid on trial here, his type. Well, don't you know about them? There's a danger here. These people are dangerous. They're wild. Listen to me. Listen.
I have. Now sit down and don't...
So that is a scene from 12 Angry Men, which was a movie that starred Henry Fonda and E.G. Marshall, and Ed Begley Sr. was doing the big rant there. And 12 Angry Men has been readapted and modernized to 12 Angry Jurors, and it is being presented live on stage in Vancouver by Theatre in the Raw. And we have three members of that gang in with us this morning, starting with director Jay Hamburger. Hi, Jay.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, David Campbell.
Why, thank you, Jay Hamburger. Thanks for coming in. Jason Logan's here.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there. And Brendan, what's your last name?
McCarrick.
Okay.
Hey, everyone.
There you go. I actually have to turn your mic on. Oh, okay. That's fine now. All right. Okay. So let's start. Jay.
Yes, David.
What's this play all about?
Well, it's about 12 jurors that get increasingly angry as they try to decide the fate of a young man who's accused of murdering his father, who in 1950s faced the death penalty in New York State via the electric chair. I don't think it's any longer, though there are still a number of states that do execute.
31.
Yeah. Is it 31? But New York State, I think gave it up. Sing Sing was one of the last of the places where they would electrocute. But this poor kid, who's really a teenager, has been accused of murdering. And at the beginning of the play, all the jurors but one say guilty.
Yeah. So it's actually a very famous moment at the beginning of the play where they just sort of they come in and say, okay, look, this should be pretty easy. Let's do a vote and get it over with. We'll be out of here real soon.
Yeah, we'll be out of here in no time. Yeah. I've got a baseball game to go to, or my wife was waiting at home. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Really, let's get the hell out. And it's no problem. But one juror stands in the way.
Yeah.
He votes not guilty.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, as the play progresses, each juror is eventually convinced that there is a reasonable doubt as to whether or not this kid committed the murder. But the poor one juror eight, they're only known by their numbers.
Yeah.
He has to convince, literally like a defending lawyer.
Yeah,
he has to try to convince each of these guys that there is reasonable doubt, and there is reasonable doubt with the proof. But it says in the script that the defending lawyer was just, wasn't really interested in the case, was assigned to it. There's no hoopla being defending this kid.
And so what I find really interesting about it too is that he doesn't sort of come in with an agenda of, I'm right, they're wrong, I'm going to convince them. It's more a case of, we owe this guy at least an hour. What the heck is that? Okay, that's fine. I've got on an auto cue there. Every once in a while, just, the music fairies. The music fairies come in and play.
I think the music worked for the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it is very similar. But the point I was trying to make was that he doesn't want to, stir up trouble. He's just saying, look, this guy's life is on the line. We should at least give it an hour to talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He actually says, were you in this play a while back?
No.
Oh, those are practically the lines. He says, I just want to talk.
Yeah.
That's what he says. I just want to talk. And I think juror 10, who we have in here, he goes, oh, for God's sakes, Yeah. Well, what do you say when I want to talk? He says, I just want to talk.
He says, boy, oh boy, there's always one. And it's true, there's always that one guy.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about juror 10 there, Brendan.
Juror 10 is, he's intolerant. Yeah. He's a bit of a wise ass, very sarcastic. It's a bit of in the beginning, it's a bit of a joke to him.
Yeah.
Because how he sees that the kid is guilty. And it's a waste of time being there, So when juror 8 sticks up his hand and says not guilty, then it's like, are you insane?
Yeah.
We go along with it for a little bit. This is a joke, whatever. No one's going to change their minds. But then as the play progresses, suddenly he starts getting through to this old man.
Yeah.
And then to this person. And then my character, It's like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, are these people, are they being serious right now? Like, this kid is guilty.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, it's just a domino effect throughout the play. And my character at the start of the play, he's sick. You know, he's come down with a cold. And as the play progresses and as he gets more frustrated and angry, he becomes more sicker, and then it kind of starts messing with him a little bit until the point where he has this climatic kind of monologue where he just goes off. What you were playing in the preview, that guy going off. Yeah, that speech. So, it's been a really
interesting... that's the character that you play.
Yeah, that's the character that I was playing. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, big monologue at the end that just puts everyone on the edge of their seats because it's a very... very intense monologue. The language itself, it's not, like, by today's standards, it's pretty mild.
Yeah.
But the ideas behind it, like, he's referring to this kid and these people as animals and, like, saying we have to wipe them out and stuff.
Well, the reason I picked that clip was because it sounds exactly, almost word for word, like the rhetoric we're hearing out of the Republicans in the States and a lot of conservatives in this country about keeping the Syrian refugees out and you know they're all terrorists and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So it really brings it like right to the current moment.
Well, when Jake asked me first, he had said, you know, there's this monologue that it's a bit touchy, you know, like there might be some people that get offended. It's a pretty sensitive subject. Then after the Paris attacks, Jay said to me, like, it's going to take on a whole other meaning now. But I think that for my character, he's really projecting a lot. He's saying, you know, they hate us. They're against us. They want to destroy us. Really, no, this is how you're feeling, and like he's projecting his own fears, which is actually what's happening nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
People are so terrified of what's going on that they're projecting all this hatred and stuff. Yeah.
So Jason,
Jason
Logan, let's talk a little bit about the character you're playing.
Okay. I play the old geezer. He's in his 70s or so. And I imagined a background for him because the playwright doesn't give us much information about what these people are like in their regular lives. And I see him as a retired maybe teacher or possibly a journalist who's somewhat acquainted with how the court system works and so on. But the reason he changes his vote to not guilty is that he believes in the motives of the number eight who's arguing on the kid's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He's something of an old curmudgeon, but a believer in democracy and in the idea of civil rights and what should be done with a kid who's had a terrible life.
Yeah.
Growing up getting into serious trouble at the age of 16.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any key moments yourself? Like, do you have a big monologue or?
Well, I kind of represent the older generation.
Yeah.
I talk about one of the witnesses who is kind
We're
of
all kinds of weird.
I know. Sorry, that was me.
Oh, that was.
Is that your heart?
Yeah, this pacemaker's going off.
Yeah, I defend the older witness, but at the same time, I say, you know, he may be motivated by other things. Maybe he likes the attention he's getting. Maybe he imagined what he said that he heard, and so on.
Yeah,
and but I don't want to give away the ending. But
No.
I do get up and pursue, almost like a detective, pursue this one bit of evidence that became evident in court, and that eventually does sway a couple more jurors to change their vote.
So, Jay, let's talk a little bit about the staging, because you've done kind of a unique thing. You're playing it at the Inner Urban Art Gallery.
Yeah, which is, the address is actually 1 East Hastings, but the doorway is on Carroll.
Yeah.
And
right by Pigeon Park.
It's right across from Pigeon Park, the old, if I'm allowed to say, the old Co-op Radio.
Oh, yeah. That's where I got my start.
Yes. Well, you used to go up a flight of stairs. But yeah. That building now is either under incredible renovation or, yeah. You know, off limits. But we're right across the street. And they have really tried to, renovate the building that we're in,
yeah.
And the Interurban was under, still it may be under the PHS, the Portland Hotel Society,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually that's really who our that's who we really have to.
And you're doing it in the round.
Well, we're doing it in the round. You walk in now. You have to when you get to Hastings. And Carroll, you just go around the corner to Carroll and walk towards North Van, and we're the first doorway on the right there. Yeah. But it's in the round, and it's in your face.
So you're like the audience is actually in the jury room.
The audience is in the jury room, and hopefully the audience is part of the jury.
Yeah, that's the idea, right?
That's the idea. Yeah. It's close up, and what's marvelous is that. As each of these jurors starts to say, you know, not guilty, you get to see right across from you or right next to you how an audience member reacts.
Yeah.
And lately the reaction has been, you know, smiles and, somewhat startled. But it's close. It's just close. I love theater in the round. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those old buggers. But this is a non-conventional theater space. And so our lighting and everything is, we're very lucky we had Chen Yang Boon, mm-hmm. who actually is a graduate of UBC.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I just worked with him. He did lighting for a show I did at, I did sound design for down at Jericho.
Well, this is the second show he's done with us. The other one was Raymer Mothers. And he put that in, we put that in 3/4 at the Russian mm-hmm. Hall.
Yeah.
But this is in the round. And so, you know, he's managed somehow to get the lighting done in a non-conventional theater space. But it's last night I was looking at this huge jury table there. And these guys walk in and they sit there and you're watching them try to make, you know, figure it all out or fiddle around or, you know, like the juror 12 is the ad executive and he's always doodling. He's an old companion of yours. Adam Abrams.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Adam's great.
You sang and danced with him.
Yes, I did. Yeah, Adam was part of the Remembrance Day show that Jason and I put together for last week.
Oh, marvelous. Marvelous.
That was quite an amazing
But project. He's a lot of fun.
He sure is.
He's a lot of fun. I think that this company, what's amazing about this company is, Nine of the actors in there I've worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
3 are new to the company, and yet we all get along. Nobody wants to kill each other, and which is
that's remarkable in itself.
Yeah, and nobody's except for me.
Yeah.
They won't. You know, I'm kidding. But they all get along, and there's not a lot of there's really no backstabbing. But there's an ensemble.
Yeah,
and that's. If anything I've been looking for years, sticking to practically, your shoulder to the grindstone is ensemble work.
Yeah.
And but the guy who really saves the day is Juror 9, the one that Jason is playing.
Mm-hmm.
He saves the day. There's a very tense moment. I don't know if there's a very, very tense moment in the play in the first act.
Yeah.
And it's Juror 9 who literally saves the day because Juror 8 says, look, okay, let's take a vote. I will step out.
Yeah.
And you take a vote, and if it's 11 saying guilty, then I will quit.
Yeah.
But there's a tense moment there, we'll say.
So I changed my vote. But I want to let people know that there are laughs in the show because of the foibles of these 12 people from all walks of life, supposed to be 12 New Yorkers. One is a violent Yankees fan.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds, and now with the addition of three women on the jury as mm-hmm. well, which has, I think, started during the 1980s, the idea of actually...
yeah, because when this play was written, women didn't even sit on juries.
You know? In some states, that's
yeah,
true. That's
yeah.
true. And it varies from place to place. Like there are five or six states where the governor has vetoed executions.
Yeah.
But that can change with a new legislature coming yeah. in. And mm-hmm. so it's still a country that puts... many, many people to death.
Yeah.
Or unjustly behind bars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rush through. Just stick the kid in jail. Just stick him in jail. Just put him in jail and lock the door and throw away the key.
It's interesting that Jason started this thought talking about how there's laughs in the play
yeah.
and then ends up with people still being put to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to Reginald Rose, who's I don't think he's any longer alive, but when Jason mentioned three women, that was a hell of a job to get three women in. I mean, what we've had to go through, you had to change the title, everything else. But the writing is so strong
yeah.
that when the three women do their speeches, which were originally written for men,
yeah.
those speeches are absolute knockouts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the power and the strength that those that the actress, that the female actress...
Well, tell me who the female actresses are.
Well, Brendan, you want to...
Yeah, just passing. So as our foreman, we have the very talented... Oh, the sheet is out of... Yeah. As our foreman, we have Tiffany Moe.
Mm-hmm.
Plays a very strong female, like... keeps charge of the room, keeps every, like, you know, the men are at each other's throats and
right.
she's trying to keep everyone calm. Me and her get into a little tiff at the beginning too, though, because I egg her on. Then we have Janice Harper, who plays she's like a broker,
mm-hmm.
and she's very, very sophisticated, very analytical.
Mm-hmm.
She likes the facts. She likes, you know, she's very smart. Again, a very smart, strong female character
yeah.
to have.
Yeah.
And then we have, this is interesting, Yasmin Tayob. And she actually plays a foreigner who's come to America. And again, powerful woman. You know,
yeah.
she actually stands up to juror number 7. And, you know, juror 7... there's one point where he's almost ready to lunge at her because
wow.
he's just gone on a tirade about, you know, these people, they come to this country, you know, running for their lives, and then they're telling you what to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, she stands her ground. So it's really great to see. And she's wearing, like, this beautiful...
Shalwar kameez, is that what it is?
I don't want to say sorry, but it's...
South Asian...
Very...
Yeah.
fitting dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, this really, that's great for the character. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely, it's definitely a great addition to have these
yeah.
three female characters because it just brings so much more. And to have, like, ethnic women as well
yeah.
because I know that in Vancouver's theater, there's been a lot of talk about how, well, there's not enough ethnic actors
yeah.
getting work.
Actually, I have something to mention about that later on in the show,
mm-hmm.
where I think it's New World Theater is doing a special call for actors of color.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they want anybody who has any kind of theater art skills or background to come in and who self-identifies as a person of color. They won't even judge it for themselves. If you consider yourself a person of color, you show up at New World's audition and they want to see what you have to offer.
Well, this is something that, you know, I just finished doing Bob Sardi's Raymer Mothers,
mm-hmm.
and that was the third of the trilogy. And I had finally reached my wit's end with the plays are about, his plays are about the downtown East Side.
But, yeah. Yeah. Bruce the Musical.
Bruce the Musical,
Yippies
and
Love,
and
right.
then the Raymer.
Yeah.
And it was so fascinating with Bob, who comes from the States and has been, you know, he's a child of the civil rights movement and everything, but he's a playwright. And I said to him, okay, I'm going to set aside some funds for this one actor who's called me. And he was black, yeah. Aiden Church. And when Bob heard he was black and he was going to play a city councilor, you know, from the Vancouver Council, yeah. He said, "You're crazy. You're nuts." He said, "You know, no." Yeah. And I said, "Yes." Yeah. And he said, "No." And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Look, you're putting funds in. I'm putting funds in. But I'm also, you know, I'm going to say yes."
Yeah. Now, did he say?
He was of color, but.
Was it because there wasn't a city councilor of color in Vancouver at the time, so it wasn't historically accurate?
To me, it didn't matter.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering why he objected. What was his reason?
He objected because he didn't feel at that time there was a councilor.
Right. So it wasn't historically accurate.
It wasn't historically accurate. My point was, you know, we've reached a point where we're doing Shakespeare, and you've got a black actor playing Hamlet.
Yeah.
I mean, let's open up the doors. Yeah. And you know what, David? What was so fascinating was we had great crowds, and, you know, it was a 10 performance run. Not one person came up to me at the end, not one, an audience member, and said, "What the hell were you doing putting that guy, a black actor, in what, you know, was probably a white counselor?"
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing? So, I mean, the theater can lead the way, for God's sakes, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So there are in the production. I mean, Brendan's right. There are in the production.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany's of Asian background. Yeah. She's, as Brendan said, she holds her own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Yasmin.
Yeah, who stands up to Juror 7 a couple times.
Yeah.
And to me as well, I think.
And then we have Juror 5, Michael Krusdahl, is marvelous. He's got a lot of different backgrounds in him. We'll say it that way.
And Jacques Lalande.
And the amazing one crazy Frenchman.
Yeah.
Jacques Lalande.
King of the Fringe.
I thought, let's give him a role that's straight.
Yeah.
And this guy is just a remarkable actor.
Yeah.
He is the real thing.
Yeah.
And what's so great about him is he knows me so well because he's done this over and over and over again. And he's actually signaled at times to me in rehearsal, calm down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows when the tension level can get, you know, screwy.
Yeah.
But he knows his oats. He's never stopped.
Yeah.
He has never stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's down in the dumps or had a stroke.
Had a stroke. The guy had a stroke, and then a year later he did a play about it.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I said to him, "Jacques, you know, this is a challenge. Yeah. You know, this is you're not going to be that funny." And you know, it's true. He didn't look back. He didn't even blink.
No, he is great.
It's just, I mean, we have this remarkable talent in this city. It's just the city needs to listen to the theater practitioners and what can be done out there rather than the bureaucracy that's been created. I'm sure, I mean, you and Jason just went ahead with your project.
Well, that's a whole other story we can talk about.
Yeah, but it's remarkable, and it's remarkable you did it.
Yeah.
And God knows you probably did it on nothing, but it's just fantastic, you know. I mean, there's got to be a major change. We're killing the art.
Yeah. Well, we just keep doing it. That's all we can do is just keep doing it. So we have to wrap it up. Thanks very much for all of you for coming in. It's 12 Angry Jurors. It's at the Inner Urban Art Gallery. So named because it's right across the street from the Inner Urban train station, which is now the what do they call it? The Ready Kilowatt building or something. Anyway, it's at 1 East Hastings and Carroll. You've got a 2-for-1 show on the 25th. You've got matinees on Sunday, this week and next week. Mm-hmm. And tickets are at theaterintheraw.ca.
Yeah. And I got to say, for this is a real bang for your buck. It's $20.
Yeah.
And then $17 for students. But $20 is now like $5. So it's you know, this is a dynamite show with dynamite cast.
Fantastic.
And students and seniors. And the matinees are at 2 o'clock, so get there by 1:30 for the Sunday matinees.
I just had to say before we go, like you said, Dave, this play is 6 years old, but it still resonates today. So if you've been following the news or you're interested in the judicial system or race relations, definitely come check out this show.
All right. That was great. Thanks a lot, you guys, for coming in. I was just about to play a song, and it's disappeared on me here, so I'm kind of acting a bit distracted. Let's do this here. Here's a little bit of music from Big John Bates, and then when we come back, we got Paula Rempel coming in.
Original sinner, I was born from original sin. Fight a dollar bill for all the things I've done. I'd have a mountain of money piled up to my chest. Don't mess with the mission.
trauma.
You have to add spur.
I know. That is Pale Red, and they won Shindig last week.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. And this is Paula Rempel-Spur. Hi, Paula.
Hello, Dave.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Paula was a DJ here back when I was here, back before most of you were born.
I know. I'm walking around out here and I'm like, I'm old enough to be everybody's mother.
Yeah.
Everybody's. Even some of the professors. I'm just kidding.
I know the feeling. Anyway, right now you're doing Agnes of God.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah.
Such a delightful, delicious play.
Yeah, this is another. We just spent the last half hour talking about 12 Angry Jurors, and now we've got another meaty show going on.
Yeah, no light fluff for you.
No. This is serious theater.
You bet.
Yeah. So, for those who aren't familiar, what's the story of who is Agnes and
Agnes? It's based on a true story, actually.
Really?
Yeah. This young nun gave birth to a baby that she claims no knowledge of even knowing that she was carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby is found dead in her room.
Yeah.
And so, of course, she has to be assessed for her sanity. And so the play...
Well, not only that she didn't know she was carrying it, she had no idea that even how it was conceived.
None at all.
Yeah.
She's playing absolute innocence. And so you don't know, is she innocent? Is this a miracle? Because kind of the play... It's almost like a feminine version of the God story. There's, mm-hmm. The mother superior, the psychiatrist, the thinker, and the daughter, Agnes. Like,
right.
And this sort of triumvirate of women come at this story from all sides. She's an innocent. No, she's not. She knew exactly what she was doing, and she's crazy. Maybe she wasn't innocent. Like, so the mother superior and the psychiatrist are both trying to do what's best for Agnes, and really, well... Poor Agnes.
Yeah, with Agnes caught in the middle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does Agnes have her own say? Does she get to fight back, or does she kind of get overwhelmed by the other two?
Well, I can't give away too much because the second act is short but very powerful and has a giant reveal. So okay. If you don't know the story, I don't want to wreck that for anybody. But Agnes has sessions with the psychiatrist.
Right.
And she does get to... speak for herself quite plainly. The interesting part is you're not quite sure. You're just quite, is she crazy? That's a big question that gets shot back and forth between the psychiatrist and the mother superior quite a bit.
Yeah. And the evidence that she gives could lead the audience in either direction, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's left very... There are many unanswered questions in the play, and he does that on purpose. It's one of the most... brilliantly crafted pieces of writing I've had the pleasure of acting in. Every day that we read it, I see more things that he put there on purpose.
Yeah.
It's very well crafted.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what else have you been up to? You got the Honky Tonk Dilettantes.
Yeah, my little band.
Yeah.
We're a little three-piece sort of... We met at the Bluegrass Club, the Pacific Heritage Bluegrass Club that meets at Vianza. But we don't strictly play bluegrass.
Yeah.
With three people, that's even a little weird because technically you kind of need a banjo and a mandolin and a guitar. So we're upright bass and guitar and mandolin and sometimes a fiddle. We flip instruments sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Harmonies are our strong suit and we love to sing those old country tunes.
Have you got any recordings? Have you done anything?
Not yet.
Something. We want to play you on the air here.
I know. I want to be played on the air here.
In fact, we should have you come down and play live.
We would love that.
Because like, we have this beautiful lounge set up there. And I don't know if you can see, but the partition, the glass door there is on a hinge. So it opens up.
That's fantastic.
And so we have bands down here, and they play out into the atrium of the student nest.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd get everybody dancing.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll sort it out.
We'd love that.
Yeah. And you've been doing some film and TV work too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've come back. Like, I was in Alberta for 12 years, so I've only been back 3 or 4 years, and so to try and reinstate an acting career at my age, I'm almost 50. They don't necessarily, like the casting directors don't know who I am.
Yeah.
So it's a good challenge for me. I am working on independent films and student films. I've done some films for students here at UBC, actually.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to stay sharp and stay focused. It's another reason I wanted to do Agnes, because theater is the best way to make sure you're still an actor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a good way to be seen and all that kind of stuff. Well, you picked a great show to participate in. So let's talk about where it is and when it is and that kind of thing. You're at the Powell Theater in Cole Harbour.
Yes.
The Performing Arts Lodge, which is a really nice room to play in. I've done some stuff there, yeah.
It's intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in a show like Agnes, intimate's good. Yeah. You want to be right up there in
and
the
you just opened last
zone.
Night.
We did.
Yeah.
It was a good opening, not a full house, which is fine. We're just happy there were people there and to hear them catching, because it isn't at all heavy. There are some delightful moments of reality and lightness between some of the characters, and to hear the audience get that and enjoy it and laugh. And it was a lovely evening last night.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And you're on, it's a short run.
Mm-hmm.
You're just on till next weekend.
Yeah. So 7 more shows counting tonight.
Yeah. Well, just Thursday to Saturday?
Yeah. With a matinee on Sunday.
Matinee on Sunday, right.
Yeah.
All right. And tickets are at Brown Paper Tickets.
They are. Yeah. You can go to alchemytheater.ca if you want to link up there to get the tickets. That's easy.
And we posted a link on the Dave Radio Facebook page, too.
Thank you, Dave Radio.
That's why we're here. Well, thanks a whole lot for coming in.
Yes.
This was great.
I'm so glad to be back here, even though this isn't where I used to do my radio show.
I know. We're in a different building and a different studio, and it's all new.
Still feels good to be talking to a fuzzy sock.
It does, though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. You have to come down and see us to understand what that means. Okay, I'm going to play some more music here. What have we got? We've got the... Next three bands from Shindig coming up, and there we go. This is one of the groups that's playing on Tuesday at Pat's Pub, Hastings and Dunleavy. Shindig, $6 only. This is Soft Haze. I'll do you too much more.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
All right, so let's take a look and see what else is going on stage this weekend. We've got Geekenders doing their Jurassic Parody the Musical, a musical version of Jurassic Park featuring dance, comedy, vaudeville, and parodies of popular songs, including a chorus of tap-dancing dinosaurs, the Velocitappers. Yeah, that's at the York Theatre this weekend. At the Culch at Venables in Victoria, Ruby Slippers presents You Will Remember Me, a new play by Françoise Archambault. And this is the play we talked about last week with Kevin McNulty and Patty Allen. At Pacific Theatre at 12th and Hemlock, Bleeding Heart Theatre presents The Amish Project with Susie Kunden. And then following the performance of The Amish Project tonight, a special preview of Stone Throw Theatre's The Drowning Girls. This is a play about three brides who are surfacing from the bathtubs they were drowned in, gathering evidence against their womanizing, murderous husband by reliving the shocking events leading up to their deaths. That's tonight only, following The Amish Project at Pacific Theatre at 12th and Hemlock. At the Havana, 20-something theaters doing 52 Pickup by TJ Daw and Rita Bosey. The Waterfront Theatre has The Music of Junk by Canadian composer Paul Snyder. This is a fun, energetic musical adventure of original music performed on original instruments built from junk. Gotta love it. Performance Works on Gravel Island has Solo Collective's version of Dressing for a Wedding, written by Aaron Bushkowski and directed by Sarah Rogers. Studio 1398 has the Climate Change Theatrical Action, 13 short plays for change created by 13 Vancouver companies, including It's a Zoo co-artistic director Chelsea Haberlin directing Original Fire by Kevin Loring, the Governor General Award-winning playwright who gave us Where the Blood Mixes and the Pipeline Project. And that's happening on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. At the Fire Hall, it's Social Studies by Trish Cooper. This is a comedy about a South Sudanese lost boy adopted by a well-intentioned family, yielding hilarious results when it takes on Canadian values and other cultural differences. Tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon at the Fire Hall. People by Alan Bennett is still going strong at the Jericho Arts Center. The K. Meeks Center has a kid show tomorrow afternoon called Hamlin, A New Fable by Axis Theater. Metro has got Faulty Tower still going strong. And at the Rio, tonight it's The Room by Tommy Wiseau. This is the 12th anniversary of this movie, and it's going to be followed by a live script reading and Q&A with Greg Censoro. And this is a screening of his new movie, Dude Bro Party Massacre, also starring Patton Oswalt. Reservoir Dogs is the midnight show at the Rio. Lee Harvey Osmond is performing live tomorrow night at the Rio. And then Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon, on a documentary called Life Off Grid, a film about people who have chosen to build their lives around renewable energy. The Vancouver's Van City Theater, look out for the First Weekend Club. They are suggesting we check out Haida Gwaii, a documentary about the islands on the North Coast. named Best Canadian Documentary at Hot Docs, a wonderful film about the environment that doesn't just talk about solutions, but shows people actually putting those ideas to good use. And now we got to do, we still have a minute. We still have a couple of minutes. So let's go through our call board. Let's see what kind of auditionings are happening up. There's a few things I wanted to bring to your attention. Starting off with what we were talking about earlier, New World Theater call for submissions from self-identified artists of color. New World is holding a general audition, meet and greet, and or show and tell for self-identified artists of color. It's happening on December 14th at Progress Lab, 1422 William. You can check newworldtheater.com for more information about that. Lovebird Theater has their auditions tonight for Last of the Red Hot Lovers by Neil Simon. That's happening. I don't have an address for the audition. Then we've got the UBC Players Club looking for actors between the ages of 18 and 45 to play roles in two original scripts for the UBC Players Club Centennial Celebration Production. And you want to know more about that, go to ubcplayersclub.com. So that's it. Remember that if you want details on these or other audition notices, go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have any notice that you would like read on the air, share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email it at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. All right, that's it. We're out of time. We got to go. Special thanks to all the great folks who showed up from Theater in the Raw and 12 Angry Jurors, and a very special thanks to Paula Rempel-Spur, her return to CITR and talking about Agnes of God at the PAL Theater this weekend. Let me just find my music. There it is right there. Okay, so let's start this thing. That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Our shout out this week goes to friend of the show, James Clayton, whose performance as Peter in Candyland won him Best Actor in a Lead Performance at the IndieFest Film Awards. We got sports this weekend. Just one game on the radio tonight. Men's hockey, UBC Thunderbirds against the Alberta Golden Bears. That goes at 7 o'clock right here on your radio, 101.9 FM. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. If you missed any or all of today's show, you want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archives at CITR.ca. And stick around. We got Eleanor and Erica here with Femme Concept. And don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar, the Human Serviette presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.
Nothing. As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three, four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it, it's almost indecent of me.
On Friday, November 20th at 7 p.m., come on down to Horse Records on East Hastings for Morning Coo's release party for her debut album, Baby Blue, featuring special performances by Tough Customer and Number 213. Tickets are by donation, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. Check out Morning Coo on Facebook for more information.